My name is Neil Speltz. At the time, August 1st, 1966, I was the news director at the KTBC AM-FM-TV operation in Austin, Texas. It was another Monday morning in Austin, Texas. Nothing different, nothing unique. It was hotter than hell. August 1st, it was already hot when the sun came up, and by the time noon rolled around, it was blistering hot in Austin. Summer school was underway on campus. There weren't that many students in summer school at that point, but they were going to classes. The work life went on. There was no legislative session underway. It was just kind of every day in Austin, Texas, with nothing unique about it, nothing unusual. Visitors come to Austin at that time and still do a lot now, but then they came to Austin to tour the state capitol. And they would tour the University of Texas. They would go and climb up to the top of the tower and look at that fantastic view of this little city out there with a lot of trees and a river running through it. At 11:45, it was still routine. 11:45 a.m., it was routine in the newsroom, routine around the campus, routine all over the city. And then in our newsroom, a police radio crackled out, "Unit 248, we've got a report of a shot fired near the University of Texas campus. Can you check it out?" Okay, that's fairly routine. Police radio says something like that. And then the police radio shortly thereafter, I mean within seconds, "Unit 825, whatever the number was, we've got another report of some shots fired at the University of Texas." Okay, 10-4, I'll go check it. And I turned to Phil Miller, who was our sports guy, who was in getting ready for his evening sports cast. I said, "Phil, can you go? I just turned over my shoulder. Can you check that out, see what it is? I'm getting ready to go on the air here on radio." And I was putting the noon newscast together. He said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what, Neil, I'm going to lunch. I'll just hop in my car and I'll drive out there. And if there's anything to it, I'll call you on the phone," sort of thing. It was that routine, that normal. Literally then, within minutes, I mean, minute after minute, by the time I went on the air at 12 noon to lead into CBS's network newscast, I said, "We have a bulletin here in the KTBC newsroom. There are shots being fired on the University of Texas campus. Let's go now to CBS, and we'll be back with more details." And by the time CBS News finished, 12:05 or something like that, and I go back with the local news, by then we had a pretty good picture because of what was happening. There's someone shooting on the university campus. We don't know who, what, when, or where, but it's a dangerous situation, and we'll bring you further details. So we were the go-to in the Texas Capitol for any news stories that might that any of the networks might be interested in. And as it turns out, our station was just three or four blocks south of the campus. We were at 10th and Brazos going on up to campus at 19th Street or so. And immediately he called back and said, "There's a lot of shooting going on here. Ambulances are coming to the scene. I'm going to rush to the hospital and cover it, see if there are any victims." I said, "Damn. We got to have somebody there. So I jumped into another mobile unit, another Red Rover mobile unit, and drove to the campus. I said, "We got to have a report." Phil Miller was there, but he didn't. He was on the telephone, and he called in a report from a drugstore. But that was it. So, and the other guy was going to Brackenridge Hospital, and that's important to report on what's going on in the emergency room. But certainly wasn't the big story. So that's when I jumped into the unit and headed out there. At that point, when I got into the mobile unit, at that point, all hell was breaking loose as I drove up to the campus. You could at that point see and hear and feel, literally. Here's what was happening. First of all, it was hotter than hell. Secondly, ambulances were screaming at that point because they were getting calls of people who were injured, wounded, dead, or whatever. There was no EMS in Austin. The funeral homes had ambulances and hearses and the funeral homes normally would rush to the scene of an accident, sometimes competing with each other to take the victim to the hospital. So when I say ambulances, sirens were screaming, etc., they were coming from several different funeral homes in Austin. They were picking up people, and then they were rushing them to Brackenridge Hospital and coming back. And they were using hearses as well as just normal ambulances to take victims who had been shot and or killed straight to Brackenridge Hospital. People were screaming and shouting, "Watch out, get out, get out of the way, somebody's shooting. Tell that person to get down, be careful. Someone's hurt. Go. Can anyone help them?" And so I'm broadcasting, starting my broadcast, hearing this sort of thing. When I say all hell broke loose, it really did all around the campus, because at 30 minutes earlier, it was serene, it was quiet, it was calm, it was hot, people just not doing anything other than kids on campus, carrying their books, going between classes, people on the drag, just stepping into the stores, going in and out of the stores, going to get a burger at the drugstore that served hamburgers, you know, stuff like that. Very normal routine. And then it was really, you can't say it was an explosion, because it just sort of boom, 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 boom started happening and then happened. But it quickly escalated to the point where you knew this was indeed something very, very different. It's the reporter's laser focus, I think, that came to the fore in what I was trying to do. And that is, you just, you know, your job, yes, you see stuff, yes, you hear stuff, and yes, if you're not a part of it, it's really emotional. But as a reporter, your job is to sit there and focus on it and say, this is what's happening, sort of thing. I drove the car up just south of the tower for the first stop near Littlefield Fountain, and was broadcasting there, full view of the tower, so I could see what was going on and the mall on the south side. And then later in the broadcast, drove the unit around and got closer to the tower and parked it right at the base of the tower, right near where the policeman was shot. I kept the mobile unit secure. I didn't pull right out in the wide open, and I'd step out of the mobile unit and start talking and broadcasting. But I was careful. Believe me, I'd duck down and I'd stay low. I wasn't trying to be a hero in the sense of just out there, because people were getting shot, and I could tell. A friend of mine and the grandson of the former news director was shot and killed right there on the drag by he and his girlfriend. Paul Bolton Sontag and his girlfriend, Claudia Rutt, just graduated from Austin High School, and they were walking into the university co-op going to buy books for the fall semester that was to begin. A routine thing. Just here's two sweethearts going in to get ready for the biggest event of their life, to enter the University of Texas as a freshman. Both of them were shot and killed right there on the drag. Many, many people not only knew some of those who were impacted by this in some way or another, but they knew the University of Texas. They knew the campus. They knew that tower. People every day, and especially the days after and months after and years after, they see that tower. And that reinforces that image of that horrible, horrible event. Now, people would walk out, even while it was going on, people would walk out and look up and say, what's happening? And then wham, they got shot. They couldn't comprehend. It was just beyond any person's ability to try to decide, is somebody up there on the top of the tower shooting? Come on. And then boom, they're shot. He killed so many and wounded so many. Most of them were not necessarily running and trying to get out of the way. Most of them were trying to figure out what happened. What's going on? What's happening? And since they couldn't really comprehend it at that point, they became a target. It did almost come out of the blue. out of the blue sky, frankly, from the top of the tower. And people look up at the tower and they see, they could see the gunman at the beginning. He would lean up over the edge of the balcony, showing himself, shoulders and head and rifle, and firing. And you could see and hear all that. It became literally a gun battle. And it was played out. It was played out on almost all sides of the tower. At one point, I turned and as I was broadcasting, I could see out of the corner of my eye, there was a guy from behind me running toward the tower carrying a rifle. I immediately thought, you know, is this somebody who's a part of all of this? But as it turned out, he ran past me to get as close as he could to get a shot and fired back at the sniper. That, when I say it was a good thing, because what it did, it kept the sniper from having free rein of walking around the tower parapet up there and looking out and without worry and shooting and picking out a target and hitting him. He then had to start worrying about getting shot himself from the ground. So he was crouched down and he'd look through the downspouts and try to fire through the downspouts, but that was difficult to do. But they did determine one important thing. They determined there was only one person doing the damage, only one sniper. At one point, because the shots occurred in such rapid succession from the top of the tower from two different directions, we thought, I thought, and the police thought there was more than one person up there shooting. And we broadcasted that. We just say there may be two people up there because it appeared that way. Well, when the airplane got up there, they determined it was only one person. APD, Austin Police Department, did not have any weapons in their arsenal that could shoot from the ground to the top of the tower. They had shotguns and they had handguns. They didn't have scope sight rifles like a deer hunter rifle to go from the ground to the top of the tower with any accuracy. Now, they fired from the ground up there, but they weren't able to hit. But okay, you've got this tower, four sides, and there's one door going out on the ledge. And there are shots being fired down and up. And Martinez is the first one to open the door and stick his head out. He has no earthly idea where Whitman is. None whatsoever. Okay. So he sticks his head out. You know, he's okay here. Okay. South side's okay. He's going out on the south side. And then the folks behind him, he says, okay, Crum, you go over here, you know, and McCoy, follow me or whatever. And then he goes out to the other corner. All right, now you're down at the other corner, going looking toward the north on the east side. He has got to stick his head out to see what's going on there. Shots are coming up from the ground now. And he's crouched up, and all he has is a service revolver. And he looks down there. Okay, he didn't get shot. So now he's starting to walk toward that corner. Okay, so he now knows the south and east, they're not there. As he gets close to that corner, Crum panics, frankly. He says, I thought I heard Whitman running. And he fired his shot there. And he had a shotgun, I think, and fired that on the south side. Okay. That was wonderful, even though what it was all of a sudden. Now, Martinez is thinking, what's going on here? He didn't know. So he then sticks his head around the last corner on the north side, mm-hmm. looking toward the west. Turns out Whitman heard that shot, and he was sitting down, heard the shotgun, and he was sitting down, so he was aiming toward that shotgun shot. And Martinez came this way and started firing and shooting him. And Whitman started turning around, and McCoy fired his shotgun. They dropped him, in effect. But when he stuck his head around that way, he was fortunate that Whitman was concerned about something coming down there in that sense. and then reached up and grabbed the shotgun from McCoy. He was in front, of course, and he reached up. McCoy had already fired a shot. There's a big debate about who actually killed him, but he came around and grabbed that shotgun and then fired the last shotgun shot into him. The madman, the deranged guy, was sitting there listening to me broadcast the carnage that he was creating. Listen to me talking about what he was doing. Some sort of perverted sense of his had him sit there. Now, I didn't know he was listening. I had no way of knowing. And in the years since then, I've thought, you know, what in the world could I have said or done if I had known I had a direct link to communicate with him? Never will have an answer to that question. Because, one, I didn't know about it, but it really says something, I think, about his twisted personality. I broadcast the fact that the sniper was killed and gave his name. And I put that information on the air. It was amazing. That was one of the most amazing scenes. After seeing all of this, and by this time I was right there at the mall. I'd pulled up at that point. The people who were listening to radio, how powerful the radio medium was and is, they flooded the South Mall. Hundreds and hundreds of people came out of buildings or came to that campus and came to the South. They filled that entire South Mall where Claire Wilson was hauled to safety after being shot in her womb and killing her baby, and her boyfriend, who was the father of the baby, had been killed right there. They were standing out there walking around that area. They were like zombies. Nobody said. They didn't say anything. They didn't turn. They were just, it was a disbelief. It was quiet after all the chaos. All these people were out there, and you didn't hear mumble, 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 or, hey, what's going on? It was quiet. And the police brought out, escorted Ray Martinez, one of the policemen who shot the sniper, and he had blood on his uniform. And he was in somewhat of a state of shock. Obviously, just as soon as he shot and killed him, he went into somewhat of a state of shock. And they'd see that, and they saw bodies carried out of the tower whom he had killed, the sniper had killed, before shooting from the top of the tower. These were tourists who had gone up to the top of the tower to look at the magnificent view of all of Austin, 360 degrees around from that tower. These people, I think, were still processing on their own level the shock that the body goes through when something like that. I think, you know, even after, I'll try to draw an analogy that may not be accurate, but if they come upon an accident scene and immediately afterwards, and there are people there who are maimed or killed or whatever, you know, your body takes with your head as part of your body, it takes an immediate impact. And you just want to go away and maybe even get sick after seeing something like that. So I think, and each individual processes it very differently in that sense, and how they process it is something that would be their own personal way that they do things like that. So the university tried to, they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't, it was not a good thing to be associated with, obviously. There had been several suicides. People jumped off the tower. Tall buildings everywhere, you know, that happens. So the university just does not want to open that wound at all, and they've resisted efforts to do so over the years. But now there's an acquiescence to the fact that, hey, this happened here. We can't dodge it. And the university was not at fault. There was no blame. And the university, in effect, took great steps to keep things like that from happening. They created counseling services. through the health center. There was an examination and investigation into what happened at the health center because the sniper had been treated at the health center prior to doing this. So the university took great steps to try to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. They closed it off. They put barriers up there. The tower, it's still there. It is a reminder, or if someone would say, even for those who didn't know about it, someone who did will tell them about it. Oh, yeah, the tower. The university suffered problems. I don't want my son, I don't want my daughter going to that university. It's dangerous. That happened shortly thereafter. Austin, obviously, has never been the same. In fact, the country's never been the same because of what happened here, first of its kind anywhere in the country.